captured the imagination. Now, I want to suggest, it's just my theory, but I want to suggest this actually began in about the year 1971. And in 1971, George Harrison, now who's George Harrison? The Beatles. Who was around during the Beatle period? Yes, very few hands go up. George Harrison was one of the Beatles, and what George did was became very interested in meditation, as in Hinduism. And he went to, all the Beatles did, but he went to the Nepal and studied yoga, the yoga techniques and meditational techniques with yogas over there. And so I'm just going to play a short clip that was a number one smash hit for him. It was his greatest hit. And I don't know if you've seen this, but it's going to be, I just want you to listen to the words. What's happening in that move, in that song? Who is the Lord he's singing about? Is it Jesus? He was singing about Krishna, because that was the Lord that he was following and had been taught about, and that he was seeking to know. And when he died in 2001, his ashes were scattered in the Ganges in India. He had that. He asked that that be done. He died of throat cancer. But what he was saying there was that meditation was part of his life, and that was actually came about by drugs, and psychedelic drugs as they were at the time. Cliff Richard, who knows about Cliff Richard? There's two or three. Cliff Richard was a famous English singer, and he became a Christian at the same time, and nobody took any notice. George Harrison somehow captured the imagination of people through his meditative techniques and what his singing. Anyone notice any of the musicos here? Anything about that song? The music, not the instruments they were using, and particularly his other one, Norwegian Wood. He introduced Indian guitars for the first time into a pop song. And so for the first time, music that was not played with Western music became a number one hit. And somebody once said there, let me just read that, Harrison's spiritual journey was seen as a serious and important development that reflected popular music's increasing maturity. What he and the Beatles had managed to overturn was the paternalistic assumption that popular musicians have no role other than to stand on stage and sing their hit songs. In other words, musicians were leading people in their understanding of life, giving them a way of meditating upon life and giving them faith. And George Harrison influenced an entire generation towards the meditative Hinduistic faith, and many people turned to faith then. So, what's all that about? I just wanted to make the point that the Google meetups are our context. Our context is a group of people who are not secular in the sense that they don't have any faith. they are secular in the sense that they don't have this particular faith, and they haven't got organized faith. They don't go to organized churches. But what they do have is a strong yearning for spirituality and meditation. The key words there are, "My sweet Lord, I really want to know you, but it takes so long, Lord." Is that true of Christians? And it's something with our message is it doesn't take long. It takes very short time. We simply have to accept Jesus as our Lord. And when you come to this passage in Philippians, you see that happening. You see that Paul is full of what? The word is, meditation occurs all through Psalms, all through Philippians is the word joy. He is full of joy. The joy of knowing Jesus Christ. The joy of being part of his fellowship. The joy of being the apostle of Jesus and having the joy of spreading the Christian faith. And he takes great joy, and more than any other church, in the Philippians, because they are his crown. They are his joy, his delight, and his pleasure. Why? Because they have embraced the Christian faith, and they know Jesus, and they know him deeply and fully. Other than, not like George Harrison saying, it takes so long. They're saying, we know him now, and he is in us, and with us, and for us now. And that's the difference between Philippians and George Harrison. And in this passage here, there's a number of key phrases. One is that they are his crown. He talks about Paul talks about the crown that he has received. Now, there's two types of crown that are mentioned in the Greek, and they're different words, but in English, you can have it as the same word. And English is a wee bit more ambiguous, but in Greek, it's very clear. And there's two kinds of crown. And one is, of course, the crown that who wears? The king or queen. The king or queen, we always think of king or queens wearing a crown. And yes, that's okay. That's who God is, of course. But there's also the crown of the athlete who has won their event. And instead of the gold medal, they received a crown at the Olympic Games in Athens. And so to receive a crown meant that you had achieved, yet you had received your reward for what you had done and what had happened. And Paul sees the Philippians as his crown, a stephanos, as they called it, the one that's on his head. He takes great delight in them because he sees in them the Spirit of God leading them on, and they are the people of God in Philippi. However, if you look at the passage, you wouldn't immediately think that's the case, would you? Because two of the women are having a scrap. They're having a big fight. Syntyche and Leodia. They're having a big fight. Leodia. They're having a big fight about something. We're not told what it is. But that doesn't disrupt Paul's joy, because the people, those two, are not threatening, or don't threaten the basic reality. Jesus Christ is the Lord of this church. But nevertheless, every church has quarrels. So what does he suggest? He looks to the common ground and appeals to them. What is it you two have in common? When there's a fight between two people, if in the church, anywhere, anytime, there's a fight between two people, what is it that is the common ground? And that is that we're brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is far more important than the issue that divided those two people. And so Paul is not interested in what the issue was. He is interested in getting them to agree in the Lord that they are brother and sister working together for the work of God. And as a strange word is used here, it's called yoke fellow. What is a yoke fellow? Do I hear a murmur? No, it's just Justin. Now, a yoke fellow, perhaps he's got the right idea. Oh, no, he's eating something. Now, the yoke was what was put over two oxen. So when two oxen were going together, they could pull whatever was behind. But if they had this piece of wood that was over their necks and that was over together, they would pull and it would double and increase beyond double their effort. So the yoke was what went over the two oxen's head, and they pulled together, and their combined strength was more than either one, the two put together just as one plus one, or one times one. It enabled them to increase their effort together. And so calling somebody a yoke fellow, and we're all yoke fellows, we get further when we pull together, when we have a bound together by, like the yoke, by Jesus Christ. And he talks about being yoked together, being people bound together in Jesus Christ. And whatever else divides is not important and is far, of far less importance. So then Paul goes on to use his great word joy. He is absolutely joyous about the people in the Philippi. And a great theologian once said, "What a gracious God we serve, who makes a delight to be a duty. He makes delight to be a duty. And who commands us to rejoice. Should we not at once be obedient to such a God as this? It is intended that we should be happy and joyous. Why? Because everything has already been done. Everything happened on the cross. There is nothing more to be done. Joy is simply to be received, and we celebrate all that has been done and all that we will, that we have in Jesus Christ and all that we, who we are." And Paul is very confident that Jesus Christ has made us joyous, and in the joy of that risen Lord, the one who is risen and with us right here today, is paramount. Even though we can't hear him or see him, he is here just as really and just as truly as you and I are here. And Paul then, in the end, this little passage now comes to the point where he says, whatever you've heard from me, whatever you've heard me say, put into practice. That's good. And I think it's very, a good teacher can always say that. But then he goes on, and just to leave this thought with you, whatever you have seen in me, also rejoice and put that into practice. Now that's a little bit harder. It's easy for me to get up here and give a sermon and to preach and to do the best I can to say what the scripture says and then say, put that into practice. You believe that, you accept that, you take joy in this risen Christ who I've just been talking about. You celebrate him. It's a little bit harder for me to be so confident to say, do everything I do. What I do, you do. It's because I'm not quite perfect. Not yet, sort of. So I'm not getting there. I'm not there. But Paul is confident that God is using him and God is with him and God is working through him. And so we should too have the confidence that even though we're not perfect, and Paul has already signaled that these two women are not perfect and the church isn't perfect, yet we can have confidence in joy that God will use us to spread the gospel in the inner city of Auckland or around wherever we happen to live. We can be confident that despite all our imperfections and despite the imperfections of the Philippian church, God takes great delight in them and will use them to preach the gospel, spread the gospel in the city of Philippi. Just to conclude with a little story from one of the meetups we had, the film festival one. And we went to Under the Sun, which was about North Korea. And a South Korean lady turned up, and I'm not sure if I told you the story before, but I'll tell it again anyway. The South Korean lady turned up, and Jenna and I were there, and there was no seats left. There was no seats left. And so Jenna gave this lady her ticket so she could go and see the film. And the lady was joyous about that. She was really joyous because she really wanted to see that film because her relatives were in North Korea. And here she was faced with the disappointment of not being able to see the film, and she's given a ticket. And God gives us the ticket to see who God is, to see him, to meet Jesus. Anyway, she went to the film. Afterwards, we had coffee together with the others who were there, and we got talking. And after the film, she said, "Oh, what do you do?" And I said, "Oh, I'm a minister." And what does a minister do? And so I told her what a minister did. And then she said, "Well, what is a church?" And she began to ask all these questions that I had never thought about. So out of this act, Jenna's generosity, came the opportunity to answer somebody's questions. Whether they were good answers is another matter again. And that's where we rely on the Lord. And that's where we take joy in the fact that we've given the opportunity, joy in the opportunity to take that, joy in the responsibility, and joy in knowing that even if we muck up, God will still use our answer for her good. And so joy in the Lord, the risen Lord who has done everything for us, means that we do not have to wait a long time. We do not have to take a long time, and it isn't hard to get to know Jesus, like George Harrison was singing. It is a joy and a privilege to know him right now. So let's pray together. Lord God, we thank and praise you that you are with us today, that we can take great joy in knowing that you are here, even though our eyes and ears cannot see you. We ask now that you give us joy in our hearts this week, so that for all the misery and all the hurt and pain that is around in this world, you will give us the joy of seeing the possibilities, the potential for healing, and the potential for us to play our small part in bringing healing into the lives of those around us. Because we have the joy of knowing that Jesus Christ is risen, he's with us, and evil is defeated, despite what we see, despite what we read, and despite what we hear. And we thank and praise you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.